Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Owen Jennings. I find him one of the most sincere people you'd ever come across. So love his enthusiasm. He's not a young man, and he's still got the enthusiasm of a young man. So great to have him back on RCR.
And his knowledge is so wide-ranging. You only have to talk about something, and Owen has at some stage looked into it and often in much greater detail than one would expect.
Yeah, and he's really worldly with his, like you say, he's looked into it in great detail, but he has had lots of worldly experiences in his mission work in various countries that are, you would consider perhaps disadvantaged. So he's got a lot of history and knowledge about how sometimes this money that's given to charities and whether it hits the ground or not, he's got a lot of knowledge about that. He's quite cynical about it, actually.
Right. Now, to some climate crazy headlines, right, John?
Climate crazy
headlines. So what caught my attention this week is usually stuff to do with children and the climate always somehow manages to make my feed. This time is no exception. Now, Sesame Street, Save the Children and Sesame Street, they earlier this month in the US, they have formed a partnership. And they are going to support, they say, a generation of children and their caregivers to cope and thrive in the face of climate crises. New Climate Response Initiative aims to ensure continuity of learning amidst climate disruptions, protect children's emotional well-being, and improve the ability of families and communities to prepare for the impacts of climate change. And so Sesame Workshop, the global impact nonprofit behind Sesame Street, and Save the Children, the world's leading climate rights organization, together are working towards this. Now, Sesame Street, loved by generations of children. You suddenly have these organizations starting to talk about climate change, starting to, as I would say, slowly, they are, it's not even, the word indoctrination is also not there. They're normalizing all of this for very, very young children. And then we have the goal to talk about children's mental health. Talk about gaslighting.
Yes, it's not a new concept. Of course, it's been tried and proven to work. Get into the minds of the young at a very young age, of course. And it does influence. And, you know, we've got plenty of examples in the world where in the last 100 years where the senior people in a family were undermined by the junior members of their family and the ethos that they were bringing home. So nothing new in this. It's interesting because you're right, Sesame Street, fantastic for young people to live in and laugh with when they're young. You know, I even used to like watching The Simpsons with my daughters, because The Simpsons always had a moral in it somewhere. You just had to be wise waiting for it. And there was a lot of good stuff. God, I'd hate it if The Simpsons, if they're still being made, I have no idea, if they turned into these climate alarmists and, if they used the Simpsons, for instance, as an indoctrination tool, because you can use the term indoctrination, because the educationalists would call it education. When you analyze it, education is all about indoctrination.
Childhood is sacred for me. It comes once. Let kids be kids. And, let them continue. But no, nothing goes untouched from these climate zealots. In a similar way, there's this headline on ABC News from Australia that eco-anxiety is now affecting more than two-thirds of Australians aged 16 to 25 years. I wonder why. I wonder how quickly this two-thirds will become 90%, 95% of youngsters being indoctrinated and now being, feeling that there's nothing to strive for. Because if there's one thing about the human condition, and I think that distinguishes us from other living forms, it's that we curate our own experience, our own living experience. And if this is what's being fed in, what hope do these kids have? But of course, someone will find a way to make a pretty penny out of this. And there's something called as climate cafes that are coming up.
Yeah.
So they talk about this thing that this particular Australian child, young person, was worried about what to do with the climate crisis until her friend, Janika Patel, introduced her to climate cafes, an initiative where young people group together to express their feelings about the state of the world with the help of science and mental health experts. So very soon you will find doctors, psychiatrists, everyone available at this. The nearest coffee shop in Manly embraced the idea and have so far hosted two meetups, which the youngsters say have brought them comfort.
God.
Oh, two meetups. Fantastic. But you can just see this being an Australian franchise very soon. I think there's a business opportunity here, Jaspreet. I think downtown Southland could have a few of these.
Well, a Melbourne-based clinical psychologist who sits in these, Ion Kinlaki, says eco anxiety is proven to impact young people's functioning and mental health. But now he says we need to do more. What's the odds that he's probably got a contract of some sort there to run these group sessions?
Look, it's interesting. I don't want to take up too much time on this, but I've been watching Clarkson's Farm Session 3, and I'm halfway through, I think. And I watched a short clip of Caleb, it was a YouTube clip, or maybe it was just on social media this week, saying you need to, on the wet day, get down to the pub and have a few drinks with your mates and just lighten up a bit and loosen up, because actually staying at home and bottling it all up, your mental well-being isn't being looked after. And I thought, Caleb, mate, I really like your programs with Jeremy. It's so funny to watch. It's really good, I'm sure, for many people in cities to have a look at how farming really works. But we've convinced ourselves that there's mental illness and well-being issues in every facet of society. And I think there is. But you need to look at the root cause. And the root cause is the horrible political regimes that we've been made to live through for years, the abuse by the regulators in our country and every Western country is putting people into an anxious state, and it's not necessary. I mean, the old days, we used to have to toughen up. I was anxious as hell in the 80s. I thought I was going to go bankrupt, and theoretically I was, because of the reforms. But I didn't need every man and his dog to be talking about it around the street corners. And we've now made it an industry. Now, if it is an industry, surely you have to look at the root cause. And the root cause for me is government policy settings. 100%. It's not the marketplace. It's government policy settings that are making farmers anxious and concerned about their future. And in fact, we're slowly turning off young farmers from being farmers and being owner-operators, because the big corporates just move on through and say, well, we'll just take out the little guy.
But this mental well-being or this mental health crisis is because of the fact that we have people no longer in control of their own destinies.
Yes.
Everything people aspired for, worked for, or what they were taught, you know, work hard, put a penny away, be honest, and all will be good. None of those things is working out anymore.
No, and none of this was required before. Look, I understand. I'm not, and gosh, I know I'm probably going to get shot down, but please don't take it the wrong way. I do understand there are people that suffer conditions that they need help and they need treated. And, you know, I had many black days in the front window looking out in the 80s thinking, what the hell is this all about? So I'm not saying that it's not real. But I do want to know what the root cause is, and the root cause isn't the human condition that's been brought on by the individual. Mostly, it's been brought on by a third party. That's
absolutely
the problem.
I would go, you know, hazard a guess that start respecting people's private property more and see how many of these mental health issues disappear.
I agree, and that's my concern. But it's almost. It's untouchable. You know, the way I've said it, I hope, isn't too insensitive. But it's like climate. someone's going to have to say the real stuff one day soon, because we've had enough. The real stuff. I need a politician. I need a leader to stand up and say, oh, we've milked this for 25 years, 30 years. There's nothing left to get here. We need to find something else to get all the grifters around. But who is that politician going to be? I haven't seen it worldwide. I haven't seen it, although, Jasper, a glimmer of hope in the Dutch parliament. It looks like they're kicking net zero out. One of the headlines last week is also mandatory heat pumps are going to be, the Dutch government's not going to sort of make sure that, make them compulsory or mandated. They're going to roll that back. So that came out on the 18th of May, that headline. And so I'm hopeful the Dutch parliament, of all parliaments, might lead the way out of this mess. So we've covered a lot of ground in that couple of minutes here, from illness to cafes to a whole lot of things.
But yeah, it's all in the mix. Be it children or Sesame Street were indoctrinated, be it climate cafes for these young people where they'll be taught more about the false climate crisis, or be it adults or farmers suffering from it. It's all due to the regulator. And we need to see where this, you know, why all of this suddenly exploded. Another issue that recently caught my attention, which may qualify for climate crazy, Don, I know I haven't run this past you. It is the Daisy Lab news that came out last week. A company creating cowless dairy products has been given the green light to expand. And again, just like Don, I respect free markets. If this is being done, you know, to have options, dairy-free options, go fill your boots. Mm-hmm. I have absolutely no problem there. But when I went to their website, Daisy Labs website, and I read the little blurb there, it says, animal agriculture is currently our largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. This needs to change. Daisy Labs technology has the potential to produce foods we know and love without the high emissions and water use, says Letitia Roundell.
Yeah.
So it is not being done just for giving you a dairy-free option. Again, the climate narrative has been bought into it. The emissions narrative has been bought into it. And there'll be no doubt SOPs and benefits and subsidies going this way. Not the least, it should be the incubator fund and other things, because this is supposedly to help us make weather more predictable. Yeah. How amazing is that?
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, tax and change the weather, or pay a whole lot of startups a lot of money to change the weather. Which one is it? Or both? Look, look, you're right. I couldn't care less what people want to. Well, I do care up to a point. I mean, you don't want stuff that's going to not be safe in terms of food. You need food safety at a high end. So I do care about food and its safety parameters. But I don't mind if people want to set up new businesses that suggest that they can do something different and have something that's marketable. I am a bit interested if they start calling it milk, or if they call a wine substitute wine. It's a bit like calling perhaps insulation in our roofs, if it's not natural wool, if you're calling it wool, even though it's fiber, artificial fibers, you do wonder about how you can use these terms. But look, what will be, but please don't hide behind climate. It just doesn't
make
sense.
Go out on your own, make a dairy-free product. Mm. Absolutely no problem there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's so much of that. I think I've mentioned this before, but I just go into to get a lot of my climate crazies and a bit of the latest news, I go into Net Zero Watch, and that's at newsletter@netzerowatch.com. And I get lots of headlines, and some of them are from what you would consider left of center publications, and there's others, centrists or right of center publications. So I think you get a very good mix. But lately there has been a mass of stories about how the end of the EV push, or the top's gone out of the market, and you know, at great cost to the Ford manufacturers, the German Mercedes, Audis, BMWs, they've all taken a massive hit. let alone the Rivian, that was a startup called Rivian in the States, they have really hit the wall. So all the stuff starting to bite, as you and I predicted, net zero coming home to haunt everybody. And well, let's hope New Zealand isn't going to be last cab off that rank. Yeah, the saying is always first cab off the rank. I just don't want to be the last one.
Let's cross everything, Don.
So what else have you got there? Oh, there's a Bezos fund. Did you want to go to that one? That was a good one.
Yeah, Jacinda Ardern was there.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, celebrating Jeff Bezos and his, do you call this conservation? I often think these guys are laundering money through all these environmental initiatives. But Jacinda Ardern was recently, last month, at the Conservation International's glitzy annual gala in New York with Harrison Ford, Shane Woodley, and Jacinda Ardern looking on Jeff Bezos and his partner, but given the Global Visionary Award for their financial contribution in the terms of this fund called the Bezos Earth Fund, $10 billion. What does $10 billion buy? A whole lot of consultants writing climate change reports, John?
Well, I think there'd be a bit of profit in there for a few of them. No, it looks just horrible, isn't it? And what got me in that whole, when it expanded that article and it was in The Guardian, was how many are starting to question whether the rubber really hits the road with the spending, or if there's just been a whole bunch of money, boys and girls, saying, oh, there's a lot of money over there, there's a honeypot, let's go and get a bit of that action. But actually, they haven't been, according to some of the players in here, delivering. They haven't been delivering.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. So yeah. I think there's a few people starting to get grumpy. And one came from this statement: the projects of the Bezos Fund do not address the key issues of the climate crisis. Well, boy, that's a big hit, isn't it? In one sentence. But then they go on to say they are nice, but unfortunately cosmetic. That was Dr. Stephen Singer, Global Energy Policy Advisor.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. So there was a few others in that similar vein, not hitting the mark. Further down, there was one by a guy, Sam Vanden Plas, Carbon Market Watch. There is a real risk that excessively pro-market funding leads to drowning out more critical voices. Oh, pro-market. How dare anyone in the climate market, in the carbon market, carbon dioxide market, ever talk about that being a market? That's a legislated gaming machine. That's what it is. A market, to me, is something that is willing buyers, willing sellers with no legislation.
No subsidies,
No legislation, no privilege. And that ain't. That, as I said, it's a gaming machine. That's what it is. And you and I are paying for that sort of stuff.
Completely.
Don't like it. Don't like it. But I'm in a minority, I know.
Oh, very happy to be in the minority. Science will never work with consensus.
Yeah, and isn't that a truism? But try to tell that to people, and they just struggle with it. They struggle with that. They think science does work with consensus, and that, you know, because someone who's a non-scientist says it adds to that consensus. Oh, just incredible. Just incredible. Oh,
well, I think she's moving on. There's a couple of headlines I'll throw in there. One from the BBC. After the Singapore Airlines flight, which has caused a lot of injuries to a lot of people, one person has even died. They hit big time, turbulence big time. This article came: aircraft turbulence is worsening with climate change, says the BBC. Studying birds could help. Everything has a climate change narrative. There is nothing that, you know, there was a climate crisis as a humanitarian crisis, climate crisis, migrant crisis. Everything is so mixed up some days. I often think I understand English, but I don't understand the sort of word salad that passes for news these days, Don.
Yeah, it's incredible how they add that to every sentence. New Zealand media, classic. Everything has climate change attached to it. I occasionally watch mainstream media news at 6 o'clock, and there isn't a night goes by where I or my wife don't talk about, oh, and there's the mandatory climate change wording. It's incredible. We just can't get away from it. Now, when we started the show a year and a bit ago, We never believed this was going to be our main topic.
Never did, Ben.
And each week we'll be able to build on it, I think, and sort of hopefully expose the level to which it's elevated itself into the prominence it has around the world. So we hope to slowly pull the legs off the climate change chair. That's what we intend to do, isn't it, Jaspreet?
Yes, sir. One last one. A herd of 170 bison, and we sort of managed this in passing in our last interview, that there's a herd of 170 bison, says the Guardian, that could help store carbon dioxide equivalent to 43,000 cars, say researchers. So they've studied this herd, reintroduced a 170 bison in Romania's Tarcu Mountains, and they say that's equivalent to removing 43,000 US cars. Now, let me get this right. Some the ruminants are good, but some ruminants are bad. They all have the same metabolic processes. Oh. But cows are bad, bison are good. Is that what we are saying?
Oh, moreover, it's only New Zealand cows are bad and bisons in Romania are good. Because we seem to be the craziest country, or maybe Ireland's getting close to us. They're as crazy as us, wanting to say that our animals are the worst thing on the planet. But, you know, the bison, that new herd of bison that's slowly growing in Romania is a good thing.
Mm. So they say the Manchester University's researchers have done this research, say it makes a convincing case for European bison reintroduction as a nature-based climate solution. Word salad there. But yeah. Here we are.
Yep. Well, I thought it was having us on, Jaspreet. I thought there's something in the water.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.